This is lesson HBS 134, and it's entitled Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 4. And the subtitle of this lesson would be Manifestations of the Spirit, the Gifts of Healing. So today we're going to talk about the next gift in our series, and that would be the gifts of healing. We're talking about now manifestations of the Holy Spirit as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read our passage that we read before we discuss all of these gifts of the Spirit. And so we're going to start with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now down to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, the next verses are about the manifestations of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, whichever you want to call them, they're the same thing. And so we're going to read about the nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Today, we're going to be talking about this fourth gift in the list. That is the gifts of healing. Up to now, in the previous lessons, we've talked about the word of wisdom. Then we talked about the word of knowledge. In our last lesson, we talked about the gift of faith or gift of special faith. And today, we're going to talk about the gifts of healing. Before we get into that, I'd like to kind of cover some points here that apply mainly to the gifts of healing, but really to all the gifts. And I think after we discuss these certain points, things will become clearer about the gifts. So let me just talk about some general things that apply to the gifts of the Spirit. Well, number one, if you look through the Bible and the Gospels, when Jesus was ministering in these gifts, you'll find out that almost every time the gifts of Spirit were manifested, Jesus went to the person. In other words, the Holy Spirit wanted to manifest this gift through Jesus, and so he sent him to the one whom the gift was for. For example, if he wanted to heal somebody by the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healing, this is our subject of our lesson today, he would send Jesus to that person. Well, that's contrasted to other healings Jesus did in the Bible where the people came to him. So one of the things to look for when the gifts of the Spirit are manifested, especially the gifts of healing, is Jesus would go to the person. Now, why would he do that? Well, simply because the Holy Spirit is the one that manifests these gifts. And when he wants to manifest them to a specific individual, that person may not be immediately present in the group. Sometimes they are, but he may not be. And so for that reason, Jesus would then go to that person. As a contrast, we'll find out that when people came to Jesus, usually their faith was required to receive something from God. So it's just an interesting thing to watch for when you read the Gospels. Usually when Jesus went to the person, the gifts of the Spirit were manifested. But when the people came to him, then their faith was important. And so they had to use their faith. All right? So, Jesus went to the person when the gift of healing, or any other gift usually, was in manifestation. This is because when the Holy Spirit wishes to manifest the gift through us, it means we must be in the presence of the one or the group to whom the Holy Spirit wishes to receive the gift. However, when the person came to Jesus for healing, that usually meant their faith would be required for the healing to take place. That's the first point I wanted to make about the gifts of the Spirit. Number two, when this gift or any gift of the Spirit is manifested, no faith is required to receive it on the one being profited. However, it does take faith to obey God and operate the gift. So that's another point I'd like to make about the gifts. It's interesting that when the Holy Spirit manifests this gift, He does not require faith on the part of the person that's receiving the gift. That would be the person, in this case, getting healed. See, God is a loving God, and He wants everyone to be healed. Number three, the gifts of healing, especially, are usually manifested to those who, through no fault of their own, do not know enough, or for some other valid reason, are unable to receive from God by word-based faith. So, in that case, our loving God often uses the gifts of the Spirit to minister to them. Some examples might be baby Christians, for example. They have a valid reason for not knowing or having faith, word-based faith, to be healed, simply because they've never heard. Non-believers would be another group that maybe have never heard the word on healing. So they would have no way to obtain word-based faith. And finally, any person really who hasn't heard the gospel, and in the case of the gifts of healing, especially on healing, would have a valid reason for not knowing the word on healing and not having an opportunity to use word-based faith to receive healing. So those are the primary people that the gifts of healing are manifested to. Again, baby Christians, non-believers, and those to whom have never heard the gospel. Now, this is why the gifts of the Spirit are often seen more extensively in the mission fields. Because in the mission fields, you have a lot of people that have never heard the gospel, especially the gospel of healing. We have a lot of non-believers, and we do have also a lot of baby Christians. So you see a lot of times these gifts manifested on the missions field, especially the gifts of healing that we're going to talk about today. However, believers should know they have healing provided in their redemption, and they need only to hear, believe, and act upon this redemptive truth to be healed. So one advantage of the gifts of healing and other gifts of the Spirit is that it requires no faith on the person receiving the gift. And that's an advantage for them. The disadvantage is that these gifts are only manifested as the Spirit wills. That does not mean that God only wishes to heal some. It only means that God may only want to heal specific ones by this method. But there are other methods we can receive healing. And it's always God's will to heal, okay? He just expects those who are believers and are mature believers and have heard the word on healing to receive healing through their own faith, based upon the fact that healing is a redemptive right that they have. Promises in the Bible that specifically cover this are Matthew 8:17, where it says, Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses, and 1 Peter 2:24, that says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed already. So God expects mature believers to act on these truths in faith to receive their healings. They can also pray for healing and use their faith. But the point being that mature believers are most often required to use their own faith to obtain healing. But sometimes God wants to heal others who, through no fault of their own, do not and have not ever have heard the word on healing. And for this reason, they are not able to use word-based faith to receive healing. So God has another method for them, and that's called the gifts of healing, which require no faith on their part. So folks, we might receive healing this way when we're baby Christians or when we're first getting, after we've gotten saved for a while, simply because we've not heard the word on healing and what our redemptive rights are. But after a while, after we've grown in the Lord and after we've learned some of these truths, God expects us to use our faith to receive healing and some of the other things in the Word of God. And so we can receive healing through word-based faith. And that's all that's required. But for those who've never heard the word on healing, our loving God has provided another way for them to get healed, and that is through gifts of healing. However, This is as the Spirit wills. So, folks, don't sit around waiting for this gift to be manifested in your case, especially if you're a mature believer, because it may never be manifested, and it probably won't if you've heard the word on healing, for God expects you to act on your faith to receive your healing. But for those who've never heard, for those who have a valid reason for not ever hearing the word on healing, God provides another way for them to get healed, and that is through the gifts of healing. Okay, let's move on to another point I wanted to make here, and that's number four. Every one of these nine gifts is supernatural and is manifested only when the Spirit wills. Now, again, I want to emphasize that does not mean that God doesn't want every person healed. It simply means that God may not manifest the thing that you need through the gifts of the Spirit, but He may manifest them through prayer or from word-based faith that you should already have through hearing the Word of God. And that's why these gifts are only manifested as the Spirit wills. So don't wait around for this gift, if you're a believer, to be healed. That may never happen. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you healed. It just means He may expect you to act on your own faith for the word that you've already heard. And every one of these gifts is supernatural. That means healing through medicine and doctors, though welcomed and valid, much appreciated by those needing healing, it would not be a manifestation of the gifts of healing, since that is supernatural. Now, point five I want to make is that Jesus worked not one work until He was anointed by His Father. That is, up until the age of 30, all the years that Jesus was on earth, He did not work, one miracle, or one healing anywhere in anybody. But that was happened after God His Father anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and power. And so I just want to review a few scriptures on that. We've covered this in past lessons, but it's very important. So turn to John 14:10, and let me read this verse to you. Jesus says, "Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." In other words, these words come from the Father. "But the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." So when Jesus ministered on earth, working miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, and all of those things, He didn't do it as the Son of God. He did it as an anointed person who was anointed by His Father. Remember Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who then went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, He didn't heal people because He was the Son of God. He healed people because He was anointed by His Father. Another witness to this would be back in John 5 and 5:19. Let's look at that. "And verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth," that is the Father, "these also doeth the Son likewise." And verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing." So we see that Jesus was not working miracles because He was the Son of God. He didn't do any of this because He was the Son of God. He did it because His Father anointed Him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so He didn't heal one miracle before He was anointed in the River Jordan. Let's take one more scripture here that really nails this down, and that would be Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. And Jesus is preaching in the synagogue, or teaching in the synagogue, really. In verse 18, it says that Jesus is saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel," and so forth. Who anointed Him? The Father. The Spirit was on Him because the Father anointed Him for these reasons: to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Those were the reasons the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, as we told you earlier in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So here, Jesus gives the reason why the Spirit is upon him, because the Father has anointed him to do these specific things. So my point here is that Jesus didn't minister as God. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit before he worked any miracles or healed anyone. And for this reason, we too must be anointed by the Holy Spirit also before we do any of the works that we've been discussing in these lessons. So folks, if we're going to minister these gifts that we're talking about today, all of these gifts, we must be anointed by the Spirit as well in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Point six I want to make here before we get into our lesson today is that Jesus was anointed with the Spirit without measure. Now let's talk about that a little bit. I've referred to it a couple times in our lessons, but I'd like to really nail it down a little bit. Turn to John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 34. John the Baptist is talking here, and he's talking about Jesus. And in verse 30 he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all," speaking of Jesus. "And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receives his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true." Now listen to this. "For he whom God hath sent," talking about Jesus, "speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." John is saying here, anointed by the Holy Ghost, he's saying that when God sent Jesus, he speaks the Word of God, and God gave not the Spirit by measure unto him. What does that mean, by measure? It means that God gave him the Spirit without measure, because he operated in all the gifts. He operated in all the administrations of the Lord: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we'll get to that later when we talk about the administrations of the Lord. We'll talk about that. But today, I would like to draw to your attention that Jesus also ministered in all the gifts, because the Spirit was not given by measure unto him. What does that imply? Well, that implies that the Spirit has been given by measure unto us as individual believers. Now, just to nail that down, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, where we'll see that believers have been given these administrations and gifts by measure, where Jesus was given these gifts and administrations without measure. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace," and he's talking about gifts here, "according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Listen, I'm going to read this again. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." In other words, every one of us individually is going to have these gifts of Christ by measure. It says we've been giving these gifts according to the measure of the gift of Christ, where Jesus has been given these gifts without measure. So individually, as believers, we won't have these gifts without measure. That's why it says to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another is given the word of knowledge. To another is given the gifts of healing, and so on. In other words, no one of us will have all the gifts. It keeps saying, to another one is given, to another is given, to another is given. That means each one of us will have these gifts with measure. We won't have all of these gifts operating in any one of our individual lives. Now, just to give another witness here, go down to verse 13. And he just got through talking in verse 12 and verse 11 about the gifts the administrations of the Lord. In other words, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. This is verse 11. And then down in verse 13, he says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Now listen, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we've been given these gifts by measure, a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, Jesus, the fullness of Christ, had the gifts without measure, but we have them by measure. That means that individually, we will not operate in all of these gifts. However, the whole body of Christ, taken collectively, will operate without measure. Because remember, Jesus said, the works that I do, shall ye do also. Speaking about the body of Christ. And even greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. So, as the body of Christ in totality, we will operate in these gifts without measure. But individually, we never will. We'll operate by measure, even though Jesus, as an individual, operated in these gifts without measure. And finally, one more scripture I'd like to turn to is Colossians 1:19 that really nails this down. And that says, Colossians 1:19, it kind of builds upon what we just read in Ephesians 4:13. For it pleased the Father that in him, talking about Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And now, remember we just read back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, that we've been given these gifts according to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in verse 19 of Colossians, it's talking about this fullness when it says, for it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. So, just to sum up, Jesus had all the gifts and all the administrations without measure. But we have them individually by measure, even though the body of Christ in totality has them without measure. Well, I hope that's clear. I've spent some time on this. So I wanted to make these points before we started in our lesson for today, which is on the gifts of healing. Okay, I just wanted to make those six general points about the gifts of the Spirit, specifically the gifts of healing. And now let's move on into a couple of examples of a manifestation of this gift. That is, a manifestation of the gifts of healing. Now, once again, the gifts of healing are supernatural. It's not healing by any other method than through the power of God. Now, the thing about this particular method of healing is that faith in the one being healed is normally not required. It's only required in the one that steps out in faith and exercises this gift after the Holy Spirit shows them he wants this gift to be manifested. So this is kind of nice for the one being healed in that he doesn't have to exhibit any particular faith. However, remember, it's only as the Spirit wills. So if you're waiting around for this particular method to be healed, you may wait a long time, and it probably will never happen if you're a believer, because God expects you to act on the Word of God that says that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, and to act on that particular truth in the Word of God to be healed, or maybe some other possible method of healing. There's various ways to be healed: laying on of hands, prayer, prayer of agreement, prayer of petition, anointing with oil, and so forth. But this particular gift, the gifts of healing, is manifested as the Spirit wills, and is usually, as I said before, manifested in the case of those who have no word on healing, don't know anything about it being a right, baby Christians, children, and in many cases, especially, unbelievers on the mission field. God will use these gifts, the gifts of healing, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and those gifts to demonstrate God's power and eventually cause these people to choose Jesus and to be saved. So, again, the gifts of healing are supernatural. They're not anything natural like going to the doctor. And some people say, well, you know, the medical science is a gift of healing. Well, no, it's not the gift of healing being talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a gift, doctors and medical people that bring relief from suffering are gifts in one sense, but this is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a supernatural gift brought by God on the scene to effect a healing and a cure in someone, and that particular someone normally doesn't have to exhibit any faith at all. A just person comes to them, exercises the gift, they're healed, and it's always as the Spirit wills. Another method of healing, though, as we just said, faith is usually required. But the advantage here is it can be initiated at our will. So you have these two particular types of healing, really. The gifts of healing, which are manifested as the Spirit wills and require no particular faith on the one receiving the gift. And then we have healing where we initiate the healing through a promise in the Word of God based on word-based faith, and we use our faith. But the advantage here being that we can initiate this type of healing at our will. So in one case, the Holy Spirit initiates the healing, and no particular faith is required in the one that receives it. And the other case, we initiate the healing, but we must use our word-based faith. Okay, let's now examine a couple of cases in the New Testament where the gifts of healing were used. First, let's turn to John chapter 5. And there's a lot of really interesting points in this account, and I'd like to bring these out. And you can see some really beautiful things here of how God operates these gifts. So let's read in John chapter 5 an example of the gifts of healings. And I just might say here, I believe that there are two gifts of word of knowledge involved here. One gift of the word of wisdom, as well as the gift of healing. So let's read this carefully and see if we can find the working of these various gifts. Let's start with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming down, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was healed, that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Then did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh here too, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Keep listening. Then answered Jesus and saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then Jesus goes on and continues to speak to the ones present there, clear to the end of the chapter. And at the end, in verse 1 of the next chapter, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Okay, I wanted to read all of that because there's a lot of interesting points that I'd like to bring out here. So now that I've read that, let's go back and kind of pick this apart a little bit and see what happened here. Well, first thing I'd like to bring out is that Jesus went to Jerusalem, I believe, the way this is written here, specifically to heal this one man. Now, why do I say that? Well, this starts out, the very first verse of the chapter says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And then it goes through this whole account I've just read. And then when he gets all done here, the only thing he's done is heal this man, have a brief conversation with the people present. And then in chapter 6, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So if we read this, Jesus came to Jerusalem, healed the man, made a brief talk to the people, and left. So I think that's kind of interesting, that Jesus came specifically to heal this one man. Now, the word tells us here there was a great multitude of people at this pool. And if we look in the Word of God in the New Testament, where a great multitude of people were present with Jesus, when these same two words were used, in one case there were 4,000 people, in another case there were 5,000 people. That was the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. In another case, the people crowded him so much, a great multitude was present that he got into a ship to preach to them. So we have an indication here that there may have been as much as a few thousand people present on these porches, or at the least many hundred. So there was a great multitude of people here. And my point is that Jesus went there and picked out one solitary soul to minister to. And that's the way it is with the gifts of healings, folks, is that God, through the Holy Spirit, was informed that he was to go to the pool of Bethesda and heal this one specific man. Now, that's the way it is with the gifts of healing. It's as the Spirit wills. We don't choose the man. We don't choose the place. We don't choose the time. God chooses all of that. And it's as the Spirit wills. And Jesus went there, made contact with this man. If we read down here in this chapter, we see that Jesus went to this man and made contact with him and initiated a conversation with that man. This man had an infirmity 38 years, and it must have been some type of paralysis because when the water was troubled, he could not get down to the pool to get into the pool so he could be healed. He had to wait until some man helped him and carried him down there to be healed. And so we can see here that he must have been at least partially paralyzed. Okay, so this certain man had this partial paralysis or whatever it was, 38 years. Now listen in verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus knew this. Folks, there's the word of knowledge. How else would Jesus know that this man had been there a long time? He made no contact with anyone else. He just walked directly to that man, probably stepping over many others to get there, because there was a great multitude, maybe thousands in that place. There were five porches there by this pool. There could have been many thousands of people there, or at least several hundred, based upon previous uses of this term in the New Testament of great multitude. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, word of knowledge, he said, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Partial paralysis at least. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Another hallmark of the gifts of healing is the healing is usually immediate or quite soon after contact is initiated by the one the Holy Spirit moves upon to minister this gift. Now, I'll move down to verse 14. Here's another example of the word of knowledge in this particular encounter. Afterward, Jesus findeth this man in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. So here's the word of knowledge again. Jesus is speaking to the man and indicating to the man that the cause of sickness in this case was a sin the man committed. In other words, he'd opened the door to the devil. Now, I'm not saying all sickness or even most sickness is caused by sin. I'm just saying in this particular case, it played a part in the man's sickness. And so Jesus, by the word of knowledge, knew this. So here we have so far two cases of the word of knowledge. One in verse 6, where Jesus knew that he'd been now a long time in this case, that is, being partially paralyzed, which had happened for 38 years. So, and another time the word of knowledge was manifested, here in verse 14, when Jesus knew that sin had been the cause. And the gifts of healing were manifested when the man took up his bed and walked. Now, I'm saying this was the gift of healing because here the man exhibited no faith at all. He was just laying by the pool. He didn't initiate any contact with Jesus. Jesus initiated the contact with him. Jesus came to Jerusalem, came to the pool, walked up to the man, probably stepping over many others to get there, and said, Wilt thou be made whole? And the man didn't even answer the question. He just said, I don't have any man to put me in the pool. And Jesus said, Take up thy bed and walk. And the man was perfectly healed. Folks, that's typical of the gifts of healing. In the gifts of healing, normally the one who's ministering the gift, as the Spirit wills, will initiate contact. Then the one being healed will exhibit no faith of any kind. In fact, may be kind of surprised by the contact and then be completely healed. Thirdly, it's often the case that other gifts of the Spirit work in tandem with the gifts of healing. In this case, we see the gift of the word of knowledge twice. We see the gift of healing. And also, I really believe here that the gift of word of wisdom was working. And let me explain why I believe that. First of all, Jesus went to Jerusalem, from all indications, specifically to heal this man. For that's all he did while he was at Jerusalem, other than the fact that he spoke to the people for a little while after he healed this man. And in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Then Jesus left and went over the Sea of Galilee. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. So nothing much happened there except this man getting healed and Jesus talking to the people for a little bit while he was there. And so I believe that Jesus came there because of a word of wisdom his Father showed him and was manifested through the Holy Spirit. Now, why do I say that? Well, first of all, number one, as I said, Jesus went there, it looks like, specifically for this purpose. Secondly, in verse 19, if we read closely there, we see this. Then answered Jesus and said unto the people, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, the Son can do nothing of himself. Now listen, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, that is the Father, these things also doeth the Son likewise. Now let me explain this a little bit. Verily, verily, said I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Now let me add two words that aren't there to explain this a little better. For what he sees the Father do through me. In other words, Jesus saw the Father do something before he ever got there through Jesus. And then Jesus said, For what things soever he doeth, that I see he doeth, in other words, through me, these doeth the Son likewise in actuality. In other words, this is what this is saying here, I believe. You don't have to take this as verbatim, but I really believe this is what happened because I've seen it in my own life and seen it in the lives of others where the gift of the word of wisdom was being worked. And that is, ahead of time, you see something that's going to happen. And in many cases, you see yourself doing this thing. Then later, you actually do the thing that you saw being done by yourself previously. That is the way the Father works through the Holy Spirit sometimes, to show you what He wants done, so you'll have the faith to operate in the gift, especially if it's going to be something that takes a lot of faith on the part of the one working the gift to step out in faith, like the working of miracles or raising the dead or something like that. God wants to give you a heads up ahead of time of what He's going to do. So when you find yourself in that position, you can step out in faith and complete what the Father wants done. In this case, I believe that Jesus saw Himself go to Jerusalem, saw Himself walk up to this man at the Pool of Bethesda, saw Himself speak to the man, and saw the man healed. This is typical of many other people I've heard speak about the gift of the Word of Wisdom, where they actually saw ahead of time themselves ministering in a certain way, either by the Word of Wisdom working through a dream or a vision or what have you. But in any case, you saw the whole thing take place beforehand. Then you go to the place, do the things that you saw being done, step out in faith, see the same people you saw in your vision or dream or whatever it might have been that activated the Word of Wisdom, and then act out the part you saw yourself play. Sometimes the Father works through the Holy Spirit like this, so you'll have the faith to activate this gift when it comes, because it's going to take some faith to step out in faith in front of a lot of people maybe and do something that you could be pretty foolish if this isn't God. And so God shows you ahead of time what He's going to do. And so I believe through verse 1, where He went up to Jerusalem, verse 1 in chapter 6, where then He left Jerusalem pretty much right after this. So we see it was a specific reason He went to Jerusalem. And then we see this interesting comment in verse 19 saying, where Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do." In other words, Father do through Jesus, through Him. I've heard other people say in teaching on the Word of Wisdom that they saw themselves do these things ahead of time. Okay, so here again would be a case of doing what you see the Father do through you. I've even seen myself do something a couple of times that I saw ahead of time in a dream, exactly the same thing worked out ahead of I saw beforehand, worked out exactly the same later. And so I just wanted to bring that forth, that I truly believe the Word of Wisdom was in operation, as well as the gift of knowledge, the Word of Knowledge twice, and all as well as the gifts of healing. So we see here that Jesus initiated the contact. He saw ahead of time Himself heal the man by the Word of Wisdom. We saw the Word of Knowledge, where He knew how long the man had had this case. And we saw the Word of Knowledge, where Jesus said, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." And we see that Jesus was the one who initiated the contact, went to the man, spoke to him. And so this is a hallmark of the gifts of healing, where we initiate the contact through the Spirit telling us to do so. And then the person, by no particular faith on his faith, on his part, receives healing. And then he also knew by the Word of Knowledge that sin was the cause, and this had opened the door to the devil in his life, who was the author of sickness. Remember Acts 10:38, where it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all, listen, that were oppressed by the devil. Now, sometimes this oppression comes through sin, which opens the door to sickness. Not all the time, not even a majority of the cases, but occasionally. This gives the enemy an opportunity to get his foot in the door, so to speak. But all sickness comes through the devil in one way or another, either directly or indirectly, because it says here in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. So the hallmark then of this particular gift being manifested is the man used no faith of his own. Jesus initiated the contact, and it was supernatural as the Spirit
wills.
Okay, now let's look at a second example of the gifts of healing in operation. And for that, we'll turn to Acts chapter 3. And this is an account of Peter and John going into the temple at the hour of prayer. Let's begin to read with verse 1. And we'll read down through verse 8 and then skip down to verse 16. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now let's go down to verse 16. After Peter was being questioned in the temple about the healing of this man, Peter said, And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So here we see a case of the man that was sitting, begging alms, being healed, and again here, healed by the gifts of healing. Now, in this particular instance, I think we can see at least two gifts and possibly three gifts operating of the Spirit operating in this case. First of all, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 46 in the previous chapter. And it's talking about Peter and the others that were with him. If you go back to verse 38, we see we're talking about Peter. And then in verse 40, it says, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, talking about Peter. And then it gets to talking about them in verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now, they're talking here about Peter and the group that was with him. Daily, I want you to draw your attention to the fact that daily they went into the temple. That's verse 46 in the previous chapter, chapter 2. So let's take that little bit of background now that we know that Peter and some of the rest of the disciples went daily with one accord to the temple. And we assume by verse 1 in the next chapter that it was the hour of prayer when they would go. So let's combine verse 46 and verse 1. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 1 in chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. You might say, Peter and John went up together into the temple daily at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now the reason I'm emphasizing daily will become apparent in just a second. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. So here we have a case of Peter and the group he was with going daily into the temple. And we have this man, this lame man, who was lame from his mother's womb, being laid daily at the gate of the temple. So if they're both there daily and passing by the gate of the temple each day, you must know that they have had contact before, at least had seen each other before, at least had noticed each other before. Now, I say noticed each other. What I primarily mean here is that the disciples primarily noticed this man because he was there every day. He may not have noticed them in particular, but individually, but they certainly must have noticed him. Wouldn't you notice if every day you went to church and by the church as you entered there was a man there that was lame, begging alms? You might not give it a lot of thought, but you certainly notice him because you'd seen him before. So this man was laid daily at the gate
of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And the disciples went daily, including Peter, into this temple. This man saw Peter and John about going to the temple and ask an alms. Not for the first time, certainly. And Peter, I might add, this time, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." You think Peter had ever said that to the man before? I highly doubt it. But this particular time, at this particular instant, going into the temple, Peter said unto the man, "Look on us." And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This man is not expecting to be healed. This man is expecting to receive some alms from them, possibly. Because, after all, Peter says, "Look on us." And he's there to receive alms. So he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." In other words, I don't have any money. "But such as I have, I'll give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, folks, this is the gifts of healing. Why do I say that? Because, first of all, Peter, the one that was being used by the Holy Spirit, as he wills, initiated contact with this man. Secondly, this man had no faith of his own to be healed. In fact, he wasn't expecting to be healed. He was expecting, maybe, to receive an alms from them. But Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit wills, this particular time, looked upon the man and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Folks, that's the gifts of healing. No faith was required on the one receiving it. Peter initiated the contact as the Spirit willed. Now, how do I know it was as the Spirit wills? Because he'd passed him many times and never said this to the man before. Now, all of a sudden, he's going by, and all of a sudden, he looks upon the man with authority and says, "Look on us." Now, folks, you don't do that unless the Holy Spirit is inspiring you to do these things. You try this on your own without the Holy Spirit inspiring you to do this, and nothing's going to happen. Now, you can lay hands on the person, but the odds are that at that particular instant, that man won't leap up and be completely healed. All right? When we do that, it says in Mark 16, verse 18, that they begin to amend when hands were laid upon them. The power of God goes in you at that instant, and the process of healing has begun. But you seldom is it immediate like it is here with the gifts of healing. In this case, as we said before, there was no faith exhibited on the man who received healing. Peter operated spontaneously this one particular time as the Spirit willed him to do. And he was so bold as to say to the man, "Look on us." And when the man did, he took him by the hand and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So here we see the gift of healing. We also probably, I think we see here, the gifts of the word of knowledge, that Peter knew that this man would receive healing when he spoke to him and took him by the hand. Now, I think it's interesting to note here that this lame man, who was lame from his mother's womb, that means his whole life he was a man, doesn't say he was a youth, says he was a man. He'd been lame from his mother's womb, so maybe 30, 40 years or even more he'd been lame. And I think it's kind of interesting, and I don't want to make a real strong point of this, but I think it's kind of interesting that this particular man was lame a long time. Just like the man we just talked about in John chapter 5, which had a partial paralysis for 38 years. That man was lame, I guess you could say, 38 years. This man was lame from his birth. So what I'm just trying to say here is that I think these gifts are manifested sometimes, and don't make any hard and fast rule on this, but it's interesting, I think, that this gift was manifested that two times in the New Testament, which I believe are the most significant occurrences of the gifts of healing, to someone who'd been ailing or semi-paralyzed or lame for a long, long time. Now, I'm not saying this is always the case. I'm just saying it's interesting that in these two primary cases in the Word of God that we have for the gifts of healing, they had been that way a long time. And the Holy Spirit, as He willed, manifested this gift through Peter, and the man was healed. So here's another manifestation of the gifts of healing for sure, and possibly the gift of the word of knowledge, where Peter knew that when he looked upon the man and said, "Look on us," he knew something was going to happen. And folks, I'd just like to say to you, I think it's kind of interesting that the gift of faith may have been manifested here as well. Let me just give you some evidence where I think this may be the case. Let's go down to verse 16. Peter's talking to the people in the temple, and he's explaining how this man got healed. And it says in verse 11, they ran to Peter and John, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, verse 12, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we had made this man walk?" In other words, they were looking at Peter and John like they were the ones that did this. And Peter is trying to deflect this and say, it wasn't us, it was God. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are his witnesses." Now listen to this. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now, this verse is kind of interesting. First of all, he said that his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And then he says, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This faith which is by him sounds to me a lot like the gift of faith, where it's not word-based faith, but faith that comes through the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of faith that we talked about in our last lesson. This faith which is by him. He doesn't say this faith which came through hearing the word. Or it seems to me that Peter goes out of his way to say this faith which is by him. And we know from our lesson last time that this is the gift of faith, or the gift of special faith, or at least it could be. The reason I say it could be is because when I hear the faith which is by him, rather than faith that comes by hearing the word, I think of the gift of faith. However, it also says in verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." So we may be talking about two faiths here. One, Peter had faith in the name of Jesus through the word of God. For example, Mark 16:17, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, in my name shall he do." And then he listed several things. One of them was, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, in this case, it was the gifts of healing. But you can have faith in the name of Jesus from that statement of Jesus, because Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, in my name shall he do," and listed several things that he could do in his name. In other words, he was giving his disciples, and actually any believers, the authority to use his name to work mighty works. So Peter could have gotten faith in his name through that statement and like statements in the Word of God. And that could have been word-based faith, because Jesus did say that believers could use his name to work his works. But it also says here, faith which is by him. So there may have been both types of faith operating here. There may have been word-based faith in his name, based upon the Word of God, that says that we may, as believers, use the name of Jesus to work works like Jesus worked. And number two, it could be the gift also of special faith, which comes by him. So I just raise this as an interesting point. I'll let you decide if there were two types of faith working here, or just the gift of faith, or just word-based faith based upon his name. I just think it's interesting the way this is worded, and I'll let the Holy Spirit work in your hearts to for you to decide what you think happened here in terms of the type of faith it took to do this miracle. But anyway, this is another example of the gifts of healing. And that then completes what I wanted to bring out in this lesson on the gifts of healing. This is the homework for lesson HBS 134. First question, true or false? When the gifts of healing are in manifestation, the person through whom the gift is manifested usually goes to the person and or calls out the person to whom the gift is to be manifested. Is this true or false? Well, that's true. Normally when the gifts, the healing are in manifestation, and most of the gifts for that matter, the person to whom the gift is manifested usually will go to the person. So that's true. Next question. This gift of healing is usually manifested when we have a great desire that the one who needs healing be healed. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. These gifts of healing, and all the gifts for that matter, are manifested as the Holy Spirit wills, not as we will. So that's why this question would be false, and we'll see that in the next question. Next question, true or false? No, we cannot pick the time and place for the gifts of healing to be manifested because this gift is only manifested as the Holy Spirit wills. Is that true or false? That is true. Next question. Therefore, unless the gifts of healing are in manifestation, the person will not be healed by God. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's false because this is not necessarily true because there are other ways to be healed besides the gifts of healing. You can be healed by faith-based prayer in Jesus' name, prayer of agreement, acting on our redemptive rights in faith, anointing with oil in faith, laying on of hands in faith. These are just some other ways that you can be healed. Therefore, this question as it's worded, which was, therefore, unless the gifts of healing are in manifestation, the person will not be healed by God, is false, because this would imply that this is the only way a person could be healed. And that's why it is false. Next question. When the gifts of healing are in operation, the faith of the one being healed is very important. Is that true or false? Well, folks, we found out in our examples that is false. One advantage to the gifts of healing is the faith of the one being healed is not important. This gift is manifested as the Spirit wills only. So we shouldn't count on this method to be manifested for our healings as Christians, because we have already have a healing rights promised in the Word of God. And we'll get more into that later in the homework. So this question is false. The faith of the one being healed is not very important in the gifts of healing. Next question. The gifts of healing are usually manifested to those who, through no fault of their own, do not know enough, or for some other valid reason, are unable to receive from God by word-based faith. Well, we found out in our lesson this is true. The gifts of healing are usually manifested to those who, through no fault of their own, do not know that healing has been provided in their redemption, or they haven't received Jesus as their Savior yet. So the answer to this question is true. True or false? Believers should know they have healing provided in their redemption and need only to hear, believe, and act upon this redemptive truth to be healed. That is true. Believers should know they have already by their redemptive rights healing provided. Therefore, the Holy Spirit normally won't manifest the gifts of healing to believers who have heard the truth about healing, simply because they have other things, other rights that they can act on their own and be healed every time. But this other gift, the gifts of healing, is only manifested, remember, as the Spirit wills. So believers are better off because they can act on these their redemptive rights and get healed anytime they need. Whereas non-believers and maybe Christians really have to wait on the Holy Spirit to manifest these gifts as He wills. That doesn't mean that baby Christians, you can't lay your hands on them and get them healed some other way. That just means by gifts of healing. You understand that? Okay. Next question. Every gift of the nine gifts is supernatural and is manifested only when the Holy Spirit wills. Is this true or false? This is true of all the nine gifts, so it's true. Every one of the gifts is a supernatural gift. That is, it's done by God as the Holy Spirit wills. It's not something done by man. So this is true. Next question. Healing through medicine and doctors would be a good example of the gifts of healing. Is that true or false? No, that would be false because it's not supernatural. It's done through the power of man. And it's good, but it's not supernatural, so it's false. Next question. No, healing through medicine and doctors is a blessing to mankind, but it is not a supernatural gift, as the gifts of healings are. And that is true. That's exactly why healing through medicine and doctors is not a gift of healing. Even though it is a blessing to mankind, it's not supernatural, however. So the answer to this question then is true. Next question. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit without measure, so He operated in all the gifts, but we're anointed by measure. So we won't individually minister in all the gifts, but we will collectively as the body of Christ. This is kind of a long question, but it is true. Let me explain a little bit. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit without measure. It tells us in John 3:34. So because He was anointed by the Spirit without measure, He operated in all the nine gifts. But we're anointed by measure. In other words, you remember when we read about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says to one is given this gift, to another is given this gift, to another is given this gift. That means not one Christian will operate in all the nine gifts because we've been given the Spirit by measure, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 13. So we saw that in the lesson, so I won't repeat it all here. That's the reason we won't individually minister in all the gifts, because we have the Spirit by measure, where Jesus ministered in all the gifts because He has the Spirit without measure. But the body of Christ in totality or collectively will minister in all the gifts. You know, if you look at all the members of the body of Christ, to one is given this, to another is given this gift. All those gifts will be exercised in the total body, but no one of us as a member of the body of Christ will operate in all the gifts. So the answer to this question, the way it's worded, is true. Next question. The gifts of healing is one of the nine gifts that say something. Is that true or false? That is false. It's not one of the gifts that say something. It's one of the gifts that do something. The gifts of healing do something. The working of miracles does something. And the gift of faith does something. So those are the three gifts that do something. So the way this question is written is false. The gifts of healing is not one of the nine gifts that say something. The gifts that say something would be prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation by tongues. And then we have the nine gifts that reveal something, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. So the gifts of healing is not one of the nine gifts that say something. So this question is false. The gifts of healing are often manifested with other gifts, such as the word of wisdom and or the word of knowledge, as we saw in the cases of the man at the pool of Bethesda and the man at the gate beautiful. Is this true or false? This is true. Normally, a lot of times at least, when the gifts of healing are manifested, if we look closely, we'll see other gifts such as the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge manifested as well. So it's true. Now, let's just talk about the man by the pool of Bethesda here for a minute. How many gifts of the Spirit were manifested at the healing of the man at the pool? Well, we talked about this in the lesson, and we decided there were three different gifts manifested. They were the word of knowledge, two times, the word of wisdom, once, and the gifts of healing, once. So we had the gifts of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the gifts of healing. But the word of knowledge was twice, remember. First, Jesus knew by the word of knowledge that the man had been lame or paralyzed, semi-paralyzed at least, for a long time, 38 years. Jesus knew that. So how did He know? By the word of knowledge. He also knew that the man had sinned, and that's what caused him to get in this position in the first place. So that would be another example of the word of knowledge. We also saw the man healed by the gifts of healing, and we also talked about at length in there why we think that there was the word of wisdom in manifestation as well. And that was because it says that Jesus said that he does only what he sees the Father do. And so this implies that he saw the Father work this work through him before he ever came to the Pool of Bethesda. And that would be something in the future, so it would be the word of wisdom. Next question. Who initiated contact, the man or Jesus? And we're talking about this man with the Pool of Bethesda. Well, Jesus did, and that's normally the case with the gifts of healing. Normally, the person who manifests the gift makes contact with the person who's going to receive the gift. That is, the Holy Spirit lets them know that he wants to heal this person right now, and so he'll let the person know that's the channel of the gift know that he wants to manifest the gift, and then that person must be in the presence of the one to receive the gift. And so the person that the Holy Spirit is manifesting this gift through initiates the contact. In this case, it was Jesus. Next question. This man, the one that was healed by the pool, exhibited great faith and was healed of an infirmity he had 38 years. Is this true or false? Well, again, this question is a little bit tricky. Part of it is true and part of it is false. This man did not exhibit great faith. He didn't do anything. He just sitting by the pool waiting for the water to be troubled so he could try to get in first so he could be healed. So he didn't exhibit any faith at all. Jesus just walked up and says, well, thou be healed, and said, take up thy bed and walk. And he did. So he didn't exhibit great faith. He was healed before he ever got up or walked. Jesus healed him. But it was true that he was healed of an infirmity he had 38 years. So, but since the first part is false, the whole question is false. And this question then is, of course, false. What was the cause of this man's infirmity? Well, the cause of the infirmity, Jesus said later in the chapter, was sin he had committed. And Jesus warned him not to be careful. He said, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So this was the cause of his infirmity, was some sin he'd committed way back in the past. I guess many, many years ago, since he'd had the infirmity for 38 years. So that is a high penalty to pay for sin. Jesus knew this by the gift of blank. How did Jesus know that this man had sinned? He knew this by the gift of the word of knowledge. He also knew that the man had this infirmity for 38 years. By the word of knowledge. So there were two gifts, as we've seen, of the word of knowledge. Two examples, I should say, of the word of knowledge in this particular episode in the Bible. True or false? If a person is sick or has a disease, it is always because they have sinned. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is false. That's not the case normally. Sometimes it is, but we can't say that if a person is sick or has a disease, it's because they've sinned. It could be, but it normally wouldn't be. So the answer to this question is false. Satan is the author of all blank and blank, whether blank or blank. What goes in these blanks here? Here's what goes in the blanks. Satan is the author of all sickness and disease, whether directly or indirectly. Now, in this case, he was directly the author of disease because he put sickness on this person simply because the man had opened the door to the devil through sin. We've learned in past lessons that Satan is the author of all sickness and disease. I'm not going to go into those teachings again. We've covered that in past lessons. And whether directly or indirectly, that simply means whether he directly put sickness on people or indirectly through the fact that Adam and Eve sinned back in the garden and there was no sickness until they'd sinned by listening to the devil and doing what God had forbidden and which the devil tempted them to do. And that was for eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so when they ate of that tree in disobedience to God, they turned over what they had to the enemy. Give two scriptures for this. In other words, give two scriptures for the fact that Satan is the author of all sickness and disease, whether directly or indirectly. Well, one scripture would be Acts 10:38, which says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Now listen, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. That means that all that Jesus healed, all those people, were oppressed by the devil. We also, another scripture would be John 10:10, which Jesus said, I have come to give life and life more abundantly, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And another example would be in Luke chapter 13, where this woman had a spirit of infirmity, if you remember. And that was a spirit of infirmity is a demonic being who was causing her to be sick. And then Jesus said later in this chapter, Luke 13, he said, should not this woman be healed who has been bound by Satan, lo, these 18 years? And so we see here that this spirit of infirmity had been present for 18 years, and that spirit sent from Satan is what had bound her. So we see in a lot of examples in the Bible, I give you three scriptures here, Acts 10:38, John 10:10, and Luke 13, verses 11 and 16. So there's four different places where it says that the enemy is the author of sickness and disease. Now we're going to talk about the lame man at the gate beautiful. How many gifts of the Spirit were manifested at the healing of the man at the gate? Well, we talked about this in our lesson, and we came up with that there were two definite gifts, and maybe three. And we'll talk about this in the next question. They were the word of knowledge. Remember, when Peter knew that he was to stop and to heal that man, that would be the word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit telling him, stop, I'm going to heal this man here. And so that would be the word of knowledge when they approached the man, the gifts of healing when the man was healed. And later, in verse 16, Peter was speaking, and he said, the faith which is by him hath made this man whole. And the faith that comes from God would be an example of this, would be the gift of faith. That's manifested as the Holy Spirit wills. Word-based faith comes as we will, as we study the Word of God and act upon it. So, just by the way this is worded here, faith which is by him has made this, given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That makes it sound like it wasn't word-based faith that did this, but it was a special faith, the gift of faith. So, but that's a little iffy. I don't say that dogmatically. I think perhaps it might have been. So the answer to this question then would be, first question would have been two, maybe three gifts. That's the first question under the lame man at the gate beautiful. How many gifts of the Spirit were manifested? Two, maybe three gifts. And in the next question, they were word of knowledge, the gift of healing, and possibly the gift of faith. Who initiated contact? The man, Peter, or John? Well, from reading Acts chapter 3, we see it was Peter that initiated contact. Peter went to him. And that's normally the case in the gifts of healing, where the one that the God is going to manifest this gift through goes to the one who's going to receive this gift. And in this case, it was Peter who initiated the contact. Remember when Peter said to the man was sitting at the gate begging alms, and Peter said, look on us. So Peter initiated this contact with the man. Next question. Peter and John had probably seen this man begging alms before. So why didn't they go up to him and heal him before? Well, the reason is the Holy Spirit hadn't manifested the gifts of healing before. It's only done as the Spirit wills. So you can't just exercise this gift anytime you want to. Peter couldn't have just walked up to him at just any time and exercised the gift. It had to be when the Holy Spirit was prompting Peter to do so. So the answer to this question is, the Holy Spirit hadn't manifested the gifts of healing before. This gift is only manifested as the Holy Spirit wills. Now, you don't have to say all of that, but your answer should reflect what you understand that to mean. So, just use your own words there.
Next question. This man exhibited great faith and was healed of a lameness he'd had since birth. That is false. Again, the question is partly true, but it's also partly false, which makes the whole question false. This man did not exhibit great faith. He was just there begging. He didn't expect to receive anything except maybe some money from them. He certainly didn't expect to receive healing from them, so he didn't exhibit any faith at all. But he was healed of a lameness he'd had since birth. So that part is true. But since the first part is false, the whole question is false. True or false? We can only lay hands on people and pray for healing whenever the Spirit tells us to. Well, that's kind of a tricky question, too. That's false, because it's not the only time we can lay hands on people and pray for healing. But there's other times we can lay hands on people and pray for healing besides in the gifts of healing. So this question is false, because we can lay hands on people and pray for healing at times other than when the Holy Spirit tells us. That then completes the answers to the homework for this lesson.